Joyful Blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, and this is the audio on the Venus story as told through the Sumerian version of Inanna. The Babylonians had their own version, and for the Sumerians, Inanna was synonymous with the planet Venus. For the Babylonians, Ishtar was synonymous, and their stories are very similar. So this story is a condensed version, taking some elements from both Inanna's story and Ishtar's story, the similarities. And I'm going to then do a follow-up audio that will explain how this is the synodic cycle of Venus and how we can work with it. And it will also help you to understand some of the things I write about each month when I'm showing where Venus is in the sky and what part of the story she is enacting at that particular time. So we'll begin with a invocation to Venus, to Inanna, and it does come from the translations of the cuneiform texts of the Sumerians, and then go into the story. So here we go. The Holy Priestess of Heaven, I say hail to the Holy One who appears in the heavens. I say hail to the Holy Priestess of Heaven. I say hail to Inanna, Great Lady of Heaven. Holy torch, you fill the sky with light. You brighten the day at dawn. I say hail to Inanna, Great Lady of Heaven. Awesome Lady of the Anunnaki gods, crowned with great horns, you fill the heavens and earth with light. I say hail to Inanna, First Daughter of the Moon. Mighty, majestic, and radiant, you shine brilliantly in the evening. You brighten the day at dawn. You stand in the heavens like the sun and the moon. Your wonders are known both above and below. To the greatness of the Holy Priestess of Heaven, to you, Inanna, I sing. From the great above, Inanna opened her ear to the great below, and she heard the cries of her sister Ereshkigal, queen of the underworld, grieving the death of her husband Gulagana, the great bull of heaven. So Inanna abandoned heaven and earth and her office of holy priestess to descend to the underworld to attend the funeral and support her sister. Inanna dressed herself in her finest garments and jewelry, and she began her journey to the land where Ereshkigal rules. No one ever returns from the land of the dead, but Inanna knew she must go, and it was her time. She also knew this journey could be dangerous, so she leaves instructions with her servant Ninchabar, also known as the planet Mercury, and she tells her that if I do not return, set up a lament for me by the ruins, beat the drum for me in the assembly places, circle the houses of the gods, go to Enlil, the god of the air, and ask for help. If he does not help, then go to Nanna, the moon god, and beseech his assistance. If he refuses, go to Eridu, to the temple of Enki, the god of wisdom, who knows the food of life. He knows the water of life. He knows the secrets. Surely he will not let me die. After instructing Ninchabar, Inanna sets out for the underworld. When she arrives at the outer gates, she requests entrance and is told she must enter like everyone else. Inanna must pass through the 7 and sometimes 8 gates as she descends. The watchman at each gate requires her to give up one of her vestments to pass through that gate. When Inanna entered the first gate, the gate of authority, she surrendered her Shagura crown, the crown of the steppe, symbolizing being stripped of her connection to her godhood, her connection to heaven. What is this? Inanna asks, and the reply she hears is, be satisfied, Inanna, a divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled. Then Inanna enters the second gate, the gate of perception. Here she surrenders the lapis measuring rod and line and is stripped of the distortions that have clouded her perception and her sense of magic and ability to manifest. Again, Inanna asks, what is this? And the reply again is, be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled. At the third gate, the gate of communication. Inanna surrenders the double-stranded beads around her neck, releasing all the ways she no longer communicates the truth and authenticity of her being. And again, Inanna asks, "What is this?" And the reply is, "Be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled." At the fourth gate, the gate of compassion, from her chest, the breastplate called Come Man Come is removed, symbolizing her emotional heart and the release of all the ways she no longer truly loves herself. Inanna asks, "What is this?" And the reply she hears is, "Be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled." Then Inanna enters the fifth gate, the gate of personal power. The golden ring of power is removed from her hand, and she is stripped of all the ways she has tried to have power over others or has given her power away. Once again, Inanna asks, "What is this?" And the reply she hears is, "Be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is, the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled." Then Inanna comes to the sixth gate, the gate of creativity, and her diamond belt is removed, and she is stripped of all the ways she no longer truly values herself. Inanna asks, "What is this?" And the reply she hears is, "Be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is, the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled." Inanna arrives at the seventh gate, the gate of a manifestation, and from her body, the royal robe, her starry cloak, or garment of ladyship is removed, stripping Inanna of her life force, and thus she arrives in the underworld, stripped bare of all her garments of protection and all the ways that no longer serve her. Inanna again asks, "What is this?" And the reply she hears is, "Be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not open your mouth against the rites of the underworld. Thus it is, the covenant of old, set down before time, is being fulfilled." Then Inanna saw before her an eighth gate, the gate of initiation that requires total surrender and willingness to choose a conscious death. The guardian at this gate tells her she is about to enter the gate of death by intent, and by entering here she will surely die to who she knows herself to be. Choosing to go through this gate is her greatest trial yet, preparing her for rebirth and ascension. Inanna steps through this gate and finds herself, naked and bowed low, entering the throne room of her sister. Ereshkigal rose from her throne, and the Anunnaki, the judges of the underworld, surrounded her. They passed judgment against her, and Ereshkigal fastened on Inanna the eye of death. She spoke against her the word of wrath. She uttered against her the cry of guilt. She struck her. Inanna was turned into a corpse, a piece of rotting meat, and was hung from a hook on the wall. After 3 days passed, Inanna Ninshabar hastened to the gods as instructed, but Enlil, the god of the air, and Nanna, the moon god, refused to intervene. Enki, god of wisdom and water, however, consented to help. Enki fashioned the Kugura, spirit of the earth, and he fashioned the Galatura, spirit of the seas. The Kugura he gave the food of life. To the Galatura he gave the water of life, and he sent them into the underworld. These two beings did not confront Ereshkigal in a power struggle for Inanna. Instead, they listened to her moans. They heard her pain and they named it back to her. This is the action of wisdom. This is the action that heals desperation. When our hidden pain is named and honored. When Ereshkigal felt relief from her pain, she offered Enki's creatures anything they desired, and they requested Inanna's corpse. When Inanna was given to them, they revived her by sprinkling the water of life and the food of life on her dead body, and they did this with 60 different sprinklings. Then Inanna awoke, and together they began the descent and ascent back through the seven gates. Ananna collected her vestments as she passed through each gate, claiming a new, healthier relationship with them all. When Ananna returned through the first gate, the gate of manifestation, and the last gate she had passed through on her way into the underworld, she retrieved her royal robe, the starry cloak that is the garment of ladyship, reclaiming the healthy potency of her own life force expression. And when she returns through the second gate, the gate of creativity, she retrieves her diamond belt, symbolizing a renewed and healthy connection to her value and self-worth. When Ananna returns through the third gate, the gate of personal power, she retrieves the golden ring of power around her wrist and she reclaims her personal power. When she returns through the fourth gate, the gate of compassion, she retrieves her breastplate called Come Man Come, symbolizing the healing of her emotional heart and her renewed ability to truly love herself and thus love others. When Ananna returns through the fifth gate, the gate of communication, she retrieves the double-stranded beads around her neck, reclaiming healthy, authentic communication of her true self. When Ananna returns through the sixth gate, the gate of perception, she regains the lapis measuring rod and line, reclaiming a renewed way of perceiving herself and her connection to the magic of life and her ability to manifest her true purpose. When Ananna returns through the seventh gate, the gate of authority, she retrieves the shagura, the crown of the step, symbolizing her reconnection to heaven and her divinity or godhood. Then Ananna sees an eighth gate before her, and the guardian reminds her this is the gate of ascension that she is now allowed to pass through because she has successfully encountered her underworld initiation, and she is ready to ascend, reclaiming her place as queen of heaven and earth. Ananna looks around and sees there are many others who are also stepping through this gateway with her. Ananna ascends, returning to the heavens, reclaiming her place as queen of heaven and earth. But now she has the knowledge and experience of pain and darkness, having experienced them for herself. The wisdom that originally orchestrated her descent into the underworld also arranged for her return. As she passes through the seven gates, Ananna encounters all her shadowed parts and the uncertainties of who she really is. All her worldly trolls are stripped from her, and she is required to die to who she believes herself to be. This is the underworld initiation of death and rebirth that we all encounter. This is the gift of Ananna's journey that reminds us it is through the wisdom of surrender, trusting the process, and going with the flow that brings us through this passage to a whole new, more empowered and magical way of being.